Hello, welcome to the Highland Church Podcast.
Well, Merry Christmas. As I'm thinking about what we're talking about today, I think about how little things can have so much power. An atom can be exploded to be used to power an entire city. There's the tininess of a mouse in your house that has all kinds of power over you emotionally. There's a toddler's hand grabbing onto candy that you're trying to get them to let go of. It could be the most powerful grip in the universe. And this is your reminder for batteries, the little things that either make Christmas wonderful if you have children, or terrible if you've forgotten to get them and the toy requires batteries. You still have a couple days to pick those up. But little things that power great things, little things that have incredible impact on the world. And of course, today we're talking about the little thing, the little one of baby Jesus. This tiny little creature born into the world he created that has eternal and infinite impact in our lives. Our big idea today is that Jesus was born with a mighty purpose. Or you could say baby Jesus was born with a mighty purpose. My nephew, Arthur, and his full name is Arthur Don Zebulun Smith. Yeah, big name. He was born about 3 months early and was in the NICU for a long time. And my sister would go and sit next to him as he was fighting for his life, as his esophagus had not attached to his stomach during his formation, and so he was not able to process food and get things into him. And she would sing a little song over Arthur, "Tiny but Mighty." And she would pray that prayer that though he was tiny, he would be mighty. And little Arthur fought and fought, and my sister's prayers and my family's prayers fought for him. Arthur is now 10 years old, healthy, full, running around, just loves life, and is an incredible young guy, and I get to see him later this week as we celebrate Christmas. But the tiny but mighty, the miraculous birth of these little ones into our lives, and the most powerful little one ever born in Christ. If you have a Bible with you, open up to John 1, 1 through 5 and verse 14. As you're turning there, just a little context. John, who wrote these words, was considered Jesus' best friend. We hear a lot about Peter. Peter was there. Peter said, "I will never betray you," and then betrayed Christ. Peter was told to love my church by Jesus over and over and feed my sheep. Peter was told that on this rock I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But John is always there. John was the one disciple recorded at the cross when Christ died. John refers to himself, maybe a little egotistically, but he was an apostle, so I'm sure he was above all that, as the disciple that Jesus loved. Like, Jesus is love. He loved everybody, but John felt that in such a close kinship, friendship way. John was the one that Jesus told to watch over his mother, that Mary would now be cared for by John as though John were the son of Mary. So, with that context, it's amazing the kind of writing that John opens his gospel with. It's poetic, it's inspiring, it's mysterious, it's beautiful, as he writes about his buddy, his friend, his savior, his king. Before the world began, the Word was there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there with God in the beginning. Everything was made through him, and nothing was made without him. In him, there was life, and that life was a light for all people, for the people of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not defeated it. The Word became a man and lived among us. As you're reading this passage, the Word, who is the Word? And if you know this, you click into it real quickly because you've heard it before, but sometimes this passage can go on, and you think, what is this man talking about? What is this author getting at? Clearly, the word is important. It's with God. It is God. It created all things, and then the word becomes human and made his living among us. The answer is given. This is Jesus. Jesus is the word that always was. Jesus is the word that is God. Jesus is the word that created all things. And Jesus is the word who was born among us. So we're going to look at some of the importance of Christmas, this mighty purpose that Christ was born with and for. The first idea I want us to look at is that the purpose of Christmas is ancient. It's ancient. Yes, it's over 2,000 years ago now as we measure our years and measure time. 2,000 years plus ago, Jesus was born of Mary, laid in a manger. Angels sang and shepherds visited and wise men came. And that's what we celebrate now. And I don't know, but for me, sometimes this becomes such a regular part of the calendar that it almost becomes abstracted. Just as the artwork for our series is very abstract, just these shapes that give you a hint of what's going on. And it can become more of a feeling than a reality. More of a sense than a knowing. More of a what we eat and drink and who we see and what we buy and give than a tiny baby born to a young couple in a city that wasn't the city they grew up in with nowhere for them to be. Even those words can make us feel like, oh yeah, I know that. But this ancient story is even older than that. You know, old things sometimes lose value, but sometimes gain value. And I love old electronics and old synthesizers and collect some of them. And this here is a picture of a TB-303, Roland TB-303 bassline. When it first came out in the early 80s, it sold for $300 to $400, and everyone hated it. And so everyone started selling it. It was sold to be a replacement of a bass player, which we could have used today. We could have had a bass on the team and used this thing, and it sounds nothing like a real bass. It's weird and wobbly and goes all over the place and sounds bizarre. And so it was in thrift stores and secondhand shops all over the place. And young people who wanted to start making music and couldn't afford a bass started buying this stuff, this thing for $50, for $75, some even for $25. And all of a sudden, they discovered it could make sounds like nobody else had ever heard before. It was the sound of the future. It was in all the clubs. It was in all the hip-hop that was just starting to rise up then. This cheap little plastic battery-controlled toy now sells for $4,000 to $5,000. It's old. It's junk. Nobody wanted it. But it's rare. It does something no one else can do. It's been attempted to be recreated. In fact, for $150, I bought a copy of this. And they say every circuit is exactly the same, but you listen to the one I have compared to the originals, you're like, nope. There's some magic in this plastic box that brings sounds nobody's heard before. And so the value is great. Think of the things you have in your life that are old but are valuable. Sometimes they're very usable and practical. This thing does what nothing else can do, but sometimes it's just the length of time that has gone past that makes it valuable. The old car, the old piece of furniture. Maybe it was a gun handed down from your great-grandpa that you have, and it's not the best shooter, but it matters a lot because he shot bucks with it back in the day, and it hangs on your wall as a symbol of history and memory. Well, Jesus' purpose is ancient. His value is, yes, from the time it took from then until now, but it's also the power he's had. It's the singularity of who he is. There's no one else like Christ. But it's also the practical purpose that he fulfills. Jesus does something that is so valuable that no one else can do. So this ancient one, in fact, one of his names in scripture is Ancient of Days, which is a weird way of just saying you're really old. Like, I would love it if people started calling me Ancient of Days instead of just you're old. Like, yes, Ancient of Days. Sounds like a prophecy fulfilled. But in Christ, it truly is. He has been alive every day that has ever existed and before days ever existed. John 1:1-2 says this. We started with these. Before the world began, the Word was there. I love that it's a past tense, but a present tense. Before the world began, the Word was there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there with God in the beginning. Jesus has always been. He wasn't just born 2024, 20 years ago, depending on how you measure it. He has always existed. The three-in-one God that loves us, that knows us, that created all things, that has always existed, Christ has always been. And the Bible is interesting. I was just in our reading this week, if you're following along with our reading on the app, it talks about Jesus being the firstborn of the Father, the first expression of his glory. And as you read those kinds of passages, you can start thinking, well, Jesus didn't always exist if he's the first expression of the glory of God. But that's a wrong way to think about what those verses are saying. What they're actually saying is God, the three in one, has always existed. And the first way God wanted us to understand him was through Jesus. The first way he expressed himself was through his word that created all things. So it wasn't that Jesus sprang into existence, it was that he always existed, but God decided that the part of himself that is fully God and fully man was the way he wanted to express himself through the word that became flesh. A baby being ancient is a strange thought. But sometimes when you look at those little babies, don't they look ancient? Even the cutest little baby looks like a strange old man. And I remember Isaac, our oldest, who's here today. Love you, son. I owe him $5 now for mentioning him in a sermon. Ethan, I'll mention you too. You look like an old man too. Okay, now I owe both my kids. But he would just have this concerned look on his face, and you knew he was thinking deep thoughts. And then a rumbling would come out from down below, and you'd realize, nope, he's just a baby. But Christ was an ancient infant. This beautiful mystery of the eternal God put in such a temporal, transforming reality of life. An infant grows by the moment. You're gone for a day and you look and they look bigger. You're gone for a moment and you realize they've changed. And this immutable, unchangeable God chose to express himself through the change and the time that he created. 1 Peter 1:19-20. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he's been revealed for your sake. Long before the world began. You know, people will argue about how old the earth is. There's young earthers and old ancient earthers. And I don't care where you stand on that. Jesus was there before that. Jesus was there before anything existed. Eternity passed before time was created. In fact, to our best understanding, space and time have to be, and matter have to all be created at the same instance for them to actually exist. So Christ existed even before time, space, and matter came into being. He was. I love that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God himself revealed to Moses his name by saying, I am. Not I will be or I was, but I am, the eternal present. God doesn't live inside of time. So he always is yesterday, today, and forever. He always is presently existing in those moments. But there's this ancientness. Some of the oldest scriptures, in fact, the oldest scriptures ever discovered are the Dead Sea Scrolls. These things that were rolled up and put into pots and stored in caves, they're so fragile now, they're rolled up and they cannot be unrolled. This was a portion they were able to unroll, but most of them, they cannot open them up to see what's going on the page, or they'll be destroyed. So what they're doing is using CAT scans and tunneling microscopes to look into each layer and read what they say. And as they discovered these ancient writings from before the time of Christ, it's from the book of Isaiah, most of them. And it talks about one who will heal the blind, cause those unable to walk to be able to walk, open the ears of the deaf. There are prophecies written about Christ. These most ancient writings that we have tell us about Jesus, who fulfilled all those things through his ministry on the earth. The ancient is the infant. So eternity past, Christ is there, but also eternity future. There's a future that is coming. Every moment ahead of us is unknown to us, but fully known to God. And this infant Christ that grew into a young boy, and then a teenager, and then a young man, and then as an adult, gave his life for all humanity. Gave his life so that our sins could be washed away, and we could know him and be with him for eternity. Is there anything in your past that you may need Jesus to show up in, to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring freedom? Any guilt or shame that you're carrying around, any wounding that someone else has done to you or said to you, Jesus wants to be there in your past, to be born into it, to bring light into that darkness, to bring hope and healing into that brokenness, to bring forgiveness for your failure and your mistake, because he is ancient and he is able to move in our past. Secondly, the purpose of Christmas is not just ancient, but it's far-reaching. It is far-reaching. It is so far beyond anything we can imagine. Especially when you think of what kind of impact can a little baby really have. It can have a lot of impact on a household. I saw a couple grandparents who had had the kids for the weekend and they were walking in. They said, we're exhausted. These little ones just wear us out. Yes, they can have a big impact on their immediate surroundings. But Christ, this infant, had an impact that stretched so much farther. Over the last number of weeks, as we've talked about preparing for the King, we've looked at the prophecies of Christmas. The places of Christmas. Last week, the people of Christmas and how Jesus' birth even reached beyond political, religious, and societal borders to reach the wise magi who came to worship him. But the purpose of Christmas is far-reaching. John 1, 3 through 4 that we started with, everything was made through him, and nothing was made without him. In him there was life. And that life was a light for the people of Bethlehem? No. People of Israel? No. People of the Middle East? No. Of Europe and Asia and Africa? No. The people of the world. This little light in Bethlehem. Again, a city that almost didn't get recorded because it was so little, has touched the entire world. He has reached everywhere. And yes, his message is going far, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the passage we read is how he spoke. He was the word that spoke all creation into existence. The farthest distant star. The background radiation. The whatever the border of the universe is that we have not been able to discover. If there is a border, Christ, baby Jesus, was the power that created that. He was the power that breathed, that spoke eternity into existence, spoke creation and time into existence. Everything was made through him. Nothing was made without him. He is the ultimate crafter. Some of you are making Christmas gifts still. You have cookies to bake and little trees to make and presents to wrap. And some of you are the kind that go above and beyond, and you have little like laser cut sleighs that you put on it and homemade bows. And it's like a masterpiece that no one wants to unwrap because you've done such a good job. You are doing that because you are like Christ, the creator. Think of the beautiful detail he's wrapped into a flower that is around for 3 days. Think of the incredible beauty he's put into a stink bug. I killed one today in the sanctuary. The little arms that bend and move, the colors that blend into the background, the smell that's released when you kill it so no one wants to eat it. Jesus created all the intricacies of these little things. He is an incredible craftsman. He makes things beyond our comprehension and makes all things that are good. Matthew 24:14b says this, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it." What a beautiful promise. The gospel continues to spread. Here's a map of the world and the percentages of those who count themselves as followers of Christ or Christians in each one, from 100% all the way down to 10%. But every single nation of the world has heard the gospel. And in every single nation and continent now on the world, there are those who count themselves as followers of Jesus. This little forgotten town, a little baby boy out of space that should have been born in a different place, except prophecy foretold this, so God guaranteed it would happen where it did, spread to the whole world. Spread through governments and spread through missionaries and spread through unhealthy power grabs, but yet God still used the brokenness of human systems to foretell his good news to those who yet needed to hear it. Because the prophecy of Matthew 24 would be foretold and would be carried out. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it. That's why kingdom builders and missions trips are such an important part of who we are as a church family and followers of Christ, because we want to help fulfill this message. Someone came and told us, and we want to now go tell someone else through our going, through our giving, through our prayer times. We want to make sure we are a part of the kingdom of God, moving it forward, building the kingdom of God. And we have some exciting news to share with you in the next few weeks about our next missions trip. I'm pumped about it. Possibly bringing the gospel to a place that has never heard it yet. The country has, but the individuals, some of them have never heard it. I'm pumped about it. Okay, finally, number three. The purpose of Christmas is not just ancient and not just far away, but is here and now. It is for you in this room, for you listening to this podcast, for you watching at home. It is here and now. God wants us to be living in the present. In fact, studies have shown over and over, how do you deal best with depression, with anxiety, with fear? It is through being present. And there are practices you can take part in that help you ground yourself, that help you get present, that help you be in the moment. Not just what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow, but what is happening now. Feeling your whole being. Knowing your body is where it is. Your mind is thinking about the present you are experiencing. And you can either focus on breathing or the beat of your heart or the way your feet feel against the ground, but you can be present. And that's just non-spiritual. You know, that's just practical things we can do, but when we realize that Christ, through his Spirit, is present in us, with us now, it can bring such peace, such comfort, if we're in relationship with him. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not defeated it. The Word became a man and lived among us. There's darkness in our world today. Just this last week, we've seen it in all kinds of different manifestations. Through school shootings and marketplace shootings, through the government not being able to agree with itself to come to some conclusions about things, the wars and bombings that go on around the world, the abuse and hurt in homes that are supposed to be places of safety and comfort. The brokenness of humanity, the darkness in the world. But there is not only darkness. There is light that shines into the darkness. When I was a kid, my grandpa Howard, who lived on a Christmas tree farm, owned a Christmas tree farm, would from time to time say, "Appletown Jack." That's what he called me. I was born in Appleton, but for whatever reason, he called me Appletown Jack. Jump in the Suburban. So we'd hop in the Suburban. I could barely climb up into this old thing. And we'd go out at dusk and drive around for a while to get to the right place. And he'd pull out his million candle power light. And he'd start shining for deer. Now, I just read this week as preparing for this, it is not legal to do that except for specific things. But this was back in the late 70s. So, you know, whatever you wanted to do, just do it. Especially way out in the middle of the country by Cataract, Wisconsin, no one was going to bother you. He probably waved at police officers as he drove by with his light shining out the window, and they just nodded and drove by. That's just Howard. But we'd get out there, and he'd shine through the darkness. And all of a sudden, bing, you'd see these two bits of light, deer's eyes shining, and they would just stare at you. You ever hear the term deer in the headlights? Well, that's because they're just staring at the light and they don't know what to do. And it was awesome. Sometimes you'd see a whole field full of deer. But what would happen is these deer already existed in the darkness. We just were unaware of it. My grandpa, because of his experience, had an idea of where to go, where to shine the light, but I had no clue, and it seemed like magic that where my grandpa shined, there were deer. Those deer were already there. The excitement, the joy, the special moments I shared with my grandpa were already there, just waiting for the light to reveal them. In our world, there's already goodness. God has already planted good things for us to experience, for us to do, for us to bring an impact into a world that desperately needs it. All we need is the light of Christ to shine into that darkness, to reveal those good things. If you feel like you're in a season of darkness in the here and now, I just want to invite you to ask Christ to shine into that darkness. Maybe it's darkness of loss. You've lost someone you love, and this time of year is just heartbreaking for you. Maybe it's something you did that you can't forgive yourself for. Maybe it's your frustration at those who think differently or vote differently than you, and you're like, they are just evil. Ask Christ to shine into the darkness and reveal the life, the light, the joy, the purpose that's going on in those dark places. You'll be shocked at what you find when you see what Jesus sees in the here and now. Not someday when we get it all figured out and we're in heaven and everything's perfect. That day's coming, but sometimes we ignore the here and now because we're looking at the there and then, and he's saying, no. Look to the here and now. I am doing a good work. I am shining into the darkness. In fact, you are one of the lights that I want to shine into that darkness. And if all you do is focus on the darkness, you'll miss the light and the life that I am. That verse again, John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not defeated it. The Word became a man and lives among us. The darkness has not defeated the light. Sometimes we think like it's God and it's Satan and they're just about even and they're fighting each other and it's back and forth. No, there's no contest. Darkness does not beat light. Light beats darkness. There's no contest. You can't shine light into darkness and have darkness win. Light always wins. And the light of Christ, the eternal light of God, the light that's so beautiful that when we get to heaven, there won't be a sun, there won't be a moon. It's just the revealed glory of God that will light everything around us. The air itself will glow with the glory of God. That's the kind of light we're talking about. Darkness cannot, another translation says, comprehend it. It can't figure it out. You shine that light of Christ into the darkness, and the darkness is like, huh? What's going on? That's why sometimes people get uncomfortable around Christians. I mean, sometimes it's just because we're weird and okay. Yeah, some of us can celebrate that. It isn't just because you think differently. It's because the light of Christ shines into the darkness. During our prayer time this morning, someone shared a word that prompted this verse that came to my mind, that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Not the harshness, not the meanness, not the I'll beat you down with how I can defend my truth that will draw people to God. It's the kindness. It's the kind act in the midst of a rough situation that shines Christ. It's the love for your enemies that shines Christ. Not how good your argument is about how dumb they are. It's saying, I love you. Oh, I don't have to agree with you. In fact, love is greater than agreement. If I agree with you, what love is that? But Jesus says, love is this, that you love your enemies. That we get to shine into the darkness and shine to bring light, to bring life, to bring hope. John 10:10b tells us more about the mighty purpose of baby Jesus. He is now old enough to speak and explain his purposes, and he says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That the here and now is to the full, is to the overflowing, is to the bigger than you can imagine moments of life. When I read that, I used to always think, you may have life to the full means your life will be easy. But a full life isn't just easy, is it? Think of your life. Yeah, there's moments of joy, moments of celebration, moments of good food and perfect weather and when your family's actually all getting along. There's those moments, and those are wonderful. There's also moments of heartache and darkness and fear and confusion and unease. And then there's everything in between, which is probably most our life, isn't it? It's not the peaks and the valleys. It's the, here's another day. All right, I'll get through it. Got through it. Okay. No high emotions or low emotions that day, just a day. One of the things this verse means is when that Christ has come to give us life and that life to the full is that in every moment, in the high points, in the low points, and everywhere in between, Christ is there giving purpose and meaning and healing and restoration and light to those things. I'm just going to take a little poll here. How many of you have ever had something terrible happen in your life that down the line you were able to see it used for good? Anyone? Yeah. I could raise all my appendages. So many things that in the moment were devastating, were hopeless. It was so dark. Times when I said, God, why would you ever allow something like this? And I still don't have all the answers for why. But I've seen him turn what the devil intended for evil, what Satan intended for darkness and deception and division in my life, to something good and life-giving and actually an opportunity for me to help shine light into someone else's darkness as they walk through what I had walked through. And I can say, this isn't the end. There's more. There's another step ahead of you. There's a light that can shine on your broken heart, on your darkest night of the year. There's a light that cannot be put out, that darkness cannot understand and cannot diminish and cannot stop. That's the kind of life that this little baby came to bring. Life to the full. Worship team, can you come on up? Jesus is ancient. Jesus is far-reaching, but Jesus is here, now. And I don't know where you need his light in your life, but you do. And even if you don't, he does. He knows exactly where you need his grace, his forgiveness, his goodness to shine into your life. Life in the good, the old, the new, the bad. He wants to shine his goodness this Christmas and be born afresh into those places in your life. Maybe it's for someone else you're thinking right now. A child who's wandered away, a parent who hasn't come to Christ, a roommate who would not come no matter how many times you invited them to Jesus. And your heart is for them. You need Christ to shine into their darkness. That big idea that we started with, that baby Jesus was born with a mighty purpose, that purpose can be fulfilled today in your life, in the life of those you love and you care about. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to shine into your heart, you've never asked Jesus to let his light heal your darkness, forgive your sins, that you could experience the love and the leadership of Jesus. And if you want to do that today, do it. It's as simple as this: asking him to forgive your sins, turning away from that darkness and turning to his light, letting his light lead you in your life. Jesus called it being born again because it is like coming out into the light of life. Out of a constrained, dark place into a place of openness and light. Others call it becoming a Christian. But if you want to do that, I'm going to pray a prayer and just would ask that you repeat it after me. And in fact, if you are already a follower of Jesus, if you're already a Christian, if you've already been born again, pray these words with me in solidarity with those who are praying them for the first time, but maybe you need to pray them again for your own heart, remembering the light that Christ has for you. Let's pray. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I need your light. I need your presence in my life. Forgive me for my sins, for everything I've done wrong. And give me a new start in your presence. You are my Lord. You are my God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please join us each Sunday at 10 a.m. for our worship service.